Hey, what's good? This is Rich.
And I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to Paychecks and Balances, where we talk making money, saving money, and getting out of debt, all while having some fun along the way. And we're back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy. I keep getting the holiday wrong, so I'm just going to say happy holidays from the return there. I keep getting them mixed up.
Just all year round, just happy holidays.
Yeah, just happy holidays.
Because there's always something. Exactly. Like it feels like every day or every week there's some type of holiday, some type of celebration, some type of something. So yeah, happy holidays infinitely.
Happy hashtag, insert whatever appropriate hashtag is going on the week that you're listening to this show.
Yes.
And speaking of debt-free, the four-week starter kit to build a solid foundation for your journey to debt freedom, including the exact tools I used to pay off over $30,000 of debt, is now available. Visit paypal.co/debt today to purchase the course or get started on getting out of debt. We've made it available for the low price of $20 so that it's affordable to everyone. Again, that's paypal.co/debt.
Yes, go and check that out. And for the folks on Patreon, we still got that discount coming. We ain't forgot about you. That'll be out soon as well. And speaking of themed days, months, I know Mental Health Awareness Month was the month of May. That's now behind us. But mental health awareness is not just a one-month thing. It's something that we need to be thinking about 365 days a year. So I've mentioned on the podcast in the past that I've been going to a therapist. I'm actually coming up on about 2 years now. And there are a lot of situations that I've had over the past 2 years where I don't know where I would be or how I would have handled them if I did not have a therapist in my corner, someone that I could go to and talk about things. And even looking at why I started going to a therapist in the first place, for me, it was seeing patterns continue to repeat themselves. And it almost felt like no matter what I did, the same outcome would show itself in one way or another. And I realized that I actually need to get professional help to kind of talk through some of those things. And it's been super helpful in understanding why I operate the way that I do, these situations and feelings that I have. And I'm like, just me, knowing that those things are common and actually developing the set of tools to be able to handle some of the challenges and things that come up on an ongoing basis. So it's not one of those things. I went for a few weeks, laid on the couch, suddenly everything was fine. It's an ongoing thing. You know, again, like I said, coming up on 2 years now, and I plan to keep this going on for, I mean, for me, it's a regular expense. Like, it's in my budget. I don't plan to stop at any point. And I even think of a situation I had last year where, and I don't think I talked about it in the podcast, but I had a week last year where a friend committed suicide and my uncle passed away in the same week. And so having a therapist, being able to go and talk and process that and work through it, so freaking helpful. And so if you've ever been wondering, should I go talk to someone? You know, I'd say look at a site like Psychology Today. That's where I went to find my therapist. You can put in all sorts of criteria, race, gender, the specific type of help that you're looking for. And even if you have a partner and things are going well, maybe you all want to go together and proactively see a therapist and work through some of the underlying relationship issues that may not show themselves on a daily basis. So I wanted to put that out there. I know we've had guests on the podcast. I know Chris, who was on recently, said that he and his wife started seeing a therapist partially from me talking about it on a previous episode of the podcast. And we will have someone on in the future, an actual mental health professional, to talk about some of the things that we might all face or some of the isolated things that might come up in our individual lives. So Mental Health Awareness Month was May, but it's something that I'm thinking about and that we should all be thinking about 365 days a year.
I'm just going to say two quick things here. Number one, I guess, is thank you for opening up about that. You have been an inspiration to myself and others. Although I have been more stubborn in the process than Chris, I did have an emotional breakdown recently, and I actually know why. I actually know what was leading up to it, and I'm okay for the people who are like having a panic attack by hearing that information. I knew it was coming. It came. I broke down. I hit rock bottom. And then fortunately, some other things improved that allowed me to address the situation. But the thing is, and what I said online was, you know, the worst time to realize that you need to learn how to swim is when you're already drowning. And so I felt the wave coming, but I wasn't doing anything proactive about it. So do as I say, not as I do. And so therefore, the second thing for people who are worrying about cost, I actually found a program through my current job. It's the employee assistance program. And, just, you know, through some different avenues, a lot of jobs have this available. But actually, like the first six sessions were free. So, you know, it's not the end all be all, but it is an avenue. And then they also have some resources for joint counseling and when you go for group therapy. So just some other ways to either get it for free or for a lower cost. And then I'll also get this in the show notes. Shout out to @JustDavia, JustDavia. She actually dropped a resource. I tweeted it if you follow us on Twitter. But it's if you're looking for 6 directories for therapists for persons of color, she actually has that. I'll get that in the show notes. So that'll be another resource available to y'all.
Yeah, and definitely a good point on not waiting till things have already tanked to take that step. And I think that's how I got there in the first place. You know, so what I went through at the time, it sucks that it took that for me to start seeing a therapist because there are some things that I could have started addressing long before that incident. But hey, hindsight is always 20/20. And like I said last year, and even I've had a couple of things come up this year where I've been able to recognize when I was falling back into old habits and either tell myself certain things or schedule that extra session to make sure that I got in there and that I handled things a productive way. So definitely, again, resource I use with Psychology Today. I know Marcus mentioned EAP, and we're going to get that other resource in there. And then on top of that, there's also apps as well. I know for those who avidly listen to podcasts, you've probably heard a Talkspace ad. And there are other apps out there as well. That seems to be a new booming industry where you can essentially get therapy via chat message. You can do therapy via video. You can do therapy via phone. So there are a lot of options out there if you want to start dipping your toes into it or start exploring it more seriously.
Agreed.
Yes. And so getting on to the topic of today's show. So as y'all may know, we were off a bit in the month of May, but an interesting story came up. So Robert F. Smith, billionaire, CEO of private equity firm Vista Equity Partners and Cornell alum, shout out to CU, was giving the commencement address at Morehouse, a historically black college and university, and shocked the graduating class when he told them he would pay off their student loan debt. And I first saw this on LinkedIn and, you know, I smashed that like button. I was excited. But then I realized that there was another perspective that people had on this that wasn't so happy, which was kind of shocking to me. And I know we'll get to that a little bit later, but you also had a couple angles to this as well, good brother.
Yeah, I guess I don't know where to start. So I guess, you know, the first step is the first step. And I guess I want to clarify, because I've been debating this a lot on Twitter, which is the place that I'm most often debating. And I actually got called out recently for not being on Facebook enough. so shout out to that group. Shout out to that group. I mean, they're actually correct for calling me out. But I just want to clarify, I still disagree. Let me begin with that. But there's two conversations that I saw taking place. So there was the Robert Smith donation to pay off the student loans for the 2019 Morehouse graduating class. So for those of you who don't know, and you kind of went over that a little bit, historically black college, Morehouse is the men's historically black college, and then Spelman is the women's African-American college.
Yes.
That being said, there's that piece of it. He paid off or agreed to set up a grant to pay off the 2019 graduating school class at his commencement speech. There's also another discussion. I felt like a lot of this was conflated, so I wanted to bring it up. And I actually reviewed this book as well, The Two Income Trap, Why Americans Are Struggling to Live in the Middle Class, by then author Warren and now Senator Warren, who's running for presidential candidacy. And she's trying to do a proposal for student loan forgiveness. So I want to, you know, we can go back and forth on this discussion. But I want to clearly, I guess, draw out those lines in the sand, if you will, those silos. So there's two discussions here. Robert Smith's private donation with his own money, and then Senator Warren's proposal for student loan forgiveness, which I think her proposal, and although there's several ones out there, would be a tax on the wealthy to pay for it. I'm sure there's some other details, but that being like the sticking point that most people are frankly fighting about. And so I want people, as they're listening to this discussion, that and maybe you and I can just be clear that are we talking about Robert Smith at that point or student loan forgiveness?
Got you. Yeah. And I think with her plan, I was reading up on this real quick. I want to say it's forgiveness for up to $50,000 of student loan debt. And as household income increases, of course, the amount that would actually get covered goes down. So I think that's what I saw in the latest article that I read.
And to clarify my disagreement, I'm not in disagreement with either of those proposals. I can see why more people would have a disagreement with student loan forgiveness, because I get it. That's either a tax or there's other parties impacted by the decisions of people who chose, and I have thoughts on that, or who chose to take out a student loan. At least they signed on the contract and the dotted line, if you will. However, I'm going to start with Robert Smith because I can in no way whatsoever understand the argument there. First of all, this is a private citizen with his own private money making a private decision to do whatever the hell he wants with it. And I can't see any other scenario where it doesn't make you petty to be upset that this billionaire decided to pay off one class, graduating class student loans. I struggle with that. And I was actually, and a lot of people saw this discussion, I was disappointed with a lot of people's hot takes in the personal finance community, although I'm not surprised, because they're like, this is the wrong way to do it. So it's okay to get out of debt if you follow the script. But suddenly when you get out of debt by the generous donation or gift of someone else, all of a sudden it's unfair and you didn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, which is something I hate as a principal anyway.
Yeah, that's part of what got me, the whole, I did it this way, so you should have to do it this way, or I struggled, so that means that you have to struggle. And I think even within the various classes, and by that I mean social classes or where people fall financially, it's not a fair game for everyone. And I saw the hot take of, well, if somebody was super irresponsible and got themselves into a lot of debt, or their parents were irresponsible and they didn't think about saving and they didn't think about XYZ, then they should have to deal with the repercussions of that versus those of us who have taken the right steps and are being penalized. And I actually think I saw someone say penalized, and I'm like, how are you being penalized for still having the same outcome you would have had because of the good habits, but now somebody else is getting essentially a second start or getting brought up to the starting line with you? How is that penalizing you, fam? How is that a penalization? I almost said something else, but.
Well, in full disclosure, I'm not going to name drop because I think that would be wrong. But in full disclosure, that person was on the show and they did use the term penalized. So if you want to look for the term penalized and find out that information or do the research, you're more than welcome to do so. But I also open with the disclaimer of, just because someone was on the show, because we had this happen before, like they were on your show, I was like, that doesn't give a blanket universal, I'm going to agree with every opinion. I don't even agree with every opinion people bring to the show. I do respect the ability and rights of people to have opinions different than my own. We have, it seems, different opinions on this topic. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm not upset about it. Like I said, the exact term I used on purpose was disappointed. Because what confuses me about this entire discussion, number one is, okay, is the best way that we can think of to help anonymous students, by the way, I don't know anybody who graduated in 2019, graduated class of Morehouse, 20-year-olds, is to indebt them for 20 to 30 years. That's the best way we can come up with. That is the only way they can learn about responsibility or taking control of their act. Like, because if that is true, I think I'm gonna move beyond disappointment to that's stupid. Like, we all need to rise up and be better than that. That if the only thing we can think of, and it says a lot about all of us, is the best thing that we can think of, I think it's normalized, is to indebt 20-year-olds for 30 to 40 years of their life. Like, we can be better than that. I truly believe in this. I believe that regardless of what you think about Robert Smith or Senator Warren's proposal, we should be able to, as a whole, society or whatever you want to call it, be better than that.
Yeah, I agree, man.
So from the article, and we'll get this in the show notes, Michelle Singletary?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going up and I probably should have captured that. I got the article here. It's from the Washington Post. And the title is, Robert Smith pledged to pay off Morehouse graduate student loans. Open-ended question, is this fair to families who saved? I had a little bit of trouble with the title.
Yeah, I definitely just leaned back and gritted my teeth a little bit.
Now, mind you, to be fair to Michelle, I've read a number of her articles and things like that. I've written articles before. You don't always choose the title. We literally had someone on the show who didn't even choose the title for their own viral article. And I get that. So maybe she didn't even choose the title of this article. To its credit, it's click-worthy. So obviously we're talking about it. So it worked. But from the article, those not on the receiving end of this amazing gift might have thought to themselves, even just for a second, what about us? What do we get for doing the right thing and saving for our kids to go to college debt-free?
You get your kid going to college debt-free.
I have, as y'all can probably hear through these comments, several issues. But I mean, the question within the question is the issue. A lot of times I'll tell people that your question is the answer. But what about us is I feel like that's a flawed framework to work from from the beginning anyway, because it's a scarcity mindset. I'm gonna go find out on Twitter who talked about this. I was interacting with him on Twitter about this particular topic. And, you know, when someone else wins, it inherently means you lose. And I think that that thinking is that there's not enough pie for us all to eat, which is quite literally insane in this scenario, because we're talking about a billionaire who, this is probably just a rounding error in his in his generous donation, but he can write, I think they said it's about $40 million, a $40 million check, and it'll still be, he could do that probably for the next 40 years. I can't do the math. Yeah, and he'll still be a billionaire. And yet we're over here, it kind of feels like instead of focusing on the meal, we're fighting over the scraps. And it's like, you know, I feel like we're coming at this from a wrong perspective. I felt like this was an interesting study in psychology watching this thing unfold. And it reminded me of a study that NPR, I don't think they did it, but they did a story on it. And I'll get this in the show notes. And it's called Why No One Feels Rich, The Psychology of Inequality. This blew my mind. The study found that people were willing to spend their own money to reduce their own wealth if it also meant they could reduce the wealth of others.
I have not seen that, and that's kind of crazy to me.
Well, it reminds me, it was shocking to hear, but it reminded me of another study they did where they essentially polled people and said, would you rather make $100,000 and your neighbors make $50,000, or you make $250,000 but your neighbors make $500,000? And overwhelmingly, people rather make $100,000 and their neighbors make $50,000.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm trying to not be judgmental. And in some ways, I do get it, you know, because we even talk about the whole, and we've talked about the idea of keeping up with the Joneses. And I think that this is a different version of that, where you want to feel like you're doing better than other people. You want to feel like you're at the forefront, like you're leading the pack versus being in the middle end of it or being in the group that's bringing up the rear. But I mean, fam, I'm taking that $250K. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm taking that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's I don't understand it. I open with that I'm coming at this with the bias of I don't understand the other side of the argument. So all I can say is I respect that there is another side of the argument. I think the only thing that seems to be some kind of saving grace here is at least this is one of those things where it's not like 1 + 1 = 3 and we're just arguing about facts. So to be fair, we're arguing about feelings. You can't regulate feelings. People are fine to feel whatever type of way they want. They feel some type of way about this. I just don't understand it, because all it translates to me is, like you said, I went through it. I struggled. Therefore, everyone should go through it and struggle. And I'm like, then what's the point of all this? And I want to be very clear. I've said this on a number of shows. So maybe I need to double down again. Like, I'm not in this to struggle forever. Like, hashtag the struggle is to escape the struggle, you know? So I want to be very clear that if I ever do make it, and heaven forbid I do, because I really don't know, like, you know, they say that, you know, money doesn't change you. It reveals who you are. And I'm actually pretty terrified of who this person might be. But, you know, heaven forbid I ever do come into a large sum of money and where things are just taken care of and my most authentic self is revealed. But that is what I'm striving for. Like, I'm not trying to be paycheck to paycheck, struggle to struggle for the rest of my life. That's not what I'm in this hustle for. I don't know what y'all doing out there. Y'all free to pull yourselves up by your bootstraps for the rest of your life. I'm trying to have a closet full of boots.
And I don't think any of us want that for our kids either. And I've said that before on social, where it's like, hey, you knock somebody down for being in a good financial situation, or, oh, you were able to pay off your debt because you got a bonus from work. Well, it's good that I got a bonus. That means I did my job. That means that whoever got a bonus, or if someone came across money through other efforts that are legit, I'll put that out there, and they're able to live a comfortable life, or they're able to take on new opportunities, or they're able to chill and do nothing at all. There's something about like holding that against them and saying, well, you know, you're no longer relatable. And I think we asked J.D. Roth that a while ago when he was in the show, if, you know, his audience or how he approached it now that he was in a position where he was financially free, like how he approached his audience, because it's almost like you lose that relatability, which it sucks to say that, where when people are used to you kind of being right in the struggle with them, but then you move beyond the struggle, which probably leads to new types of struggles altogether. And people actually count that as a strike versus something to celebrate, you know?
I do. And I'll always be a broke boy at heart, baby. You know, I'm just trying to I'm just trying to get out of the broke boy lifestyle is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm a spin monster.
Exactly. And okay, that's a good point. Like, I've accepted that's who I am. I like to spend money. So thus, if that is the problem, the solution is to either stop spending money, which feels like, you know, when you know, one of the psychology's thing, it hurts more to give up than it does to make more, to cut back. Like, it literally is, you know, painful. It's a whole psychology thing like that. But thus, I'm like, okay, well, I just need to find ways to make more of it. Like, that's my solution. And it's, I don't play the blame game. I actually respect the hustle, you know, hate the game, not the player. So I'm not hating on Robert Smith for being a billionaire, for however he achieved his money, or any other, I guess you would call it, capitalist billionaire who made money through legal means, I should say. There's some billionaires out there where you can question that. Like, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not upset at these people. I find it as inspiration, actually. I'm going to, you know, find a quote that I like to cite from time to time. And it's something to the effect, and I'm not going to say the individual because he's a lightning rod himself, but I like this particular quote. But I'm so old, I can remember when others' accomplishments were a source of inspiration, not a grievance. And that really stuck with me, because it's like, it does feel like now you have to become apologetic for success. You have to apologize for being successful. But I do want to be clear, and I said I would touch on this earlier. I think a lot of people, another one of the arguing points is student loans is a choice. They made a choice to sign these student loans. They made a choice to go into debt. And I don't think that's wholly true as it is presented in these arguments. For most people, the choice isn't, am I going to take out student loans or am I going to go to school and be debt free? It's, am I going to take out student loans or am I not going to go to school? Mm. So this argument that they made a choice. That's like, you know, a revolver with one bullet in the chamber. Like, you know, yeah, they made a choice. They pulled the trigger, but it was Russian roulette on the outcome, you know?
Yeah. The other thing that I'm thinking of, because I'm thinking about the various choices. So there's signing up for student loans to be able to go to college. But then, you know, we've joked before about going to the student loan office, getting that refund check just to have money to spend. You see people with new TVs living in more expensive apartments. And it's like, how are you affording this? And it's like, yo, I went and got that refund check, not knowing that it's adding on to their student loan debt. And I was somebody that did that. But I think what often gets left out is the fact that not everyone has equal information. And information plays a big role in what choices you make. So if you're making choices based off of having more knowledge, then yes, you are going to make a better choice. But if you're making a choice based off of no information and nobody advising you and nobody questioning, which also makes me do the Arthur Finch list that like schools would cut these refund checks, just like how easy that process was. But if you don't have that information, you don't have that education. And by education, I'm talking about more so about financial literacy. Then yeah, you might make some choices along the way that aren't the smartest beyond specifically the student loan debt that you get. Or if it's even with credit card debt, there might be things that you do or don't do because you don't have information. And so I think, to me, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, where when people say, I'm struggling, so you should struggle. But it's like, well, we're still not at the same place. Like, we're not starting on equal ground. Or I cut costs and expenses and I did XYZ to make sure that, you know, my kids could go to school debt-free or that I would graduate debt-free. Well, yeah, there's probably a lot of information that you had that you might have gotten growing up, that you might have gotten in a class, that you might have gotten through people that you associated with that allowed you to be in a position to make better decisions overall. That's not something that I hold against anybody. You know, I know when I was coming up, you know, I saw my parents paying bills and carrying a credit card balance. So to me, that seemed normal. I know a lot of other people have had the same experience. And there's a lot of things that honestly, I did not know until the past few years. And now I'm getting a hold of those things. But I would never expect, and probably because of my own individual experience, I would never expect that because I know something that somebody else should know something. And if they don't know something and they make a decision based off of that limited information, that they should be penalized for it. And by that, I mean, like, yes, we make mistakes. We learn from those. That's how we grow. But at the same time, in the context of what we're talking about here, I'm like, yo, you're still in a better, you are exactly where you plan to be. And you're upset that someone is being given a clean slate to put them on equal ground with you, despite the fact that, yeah, you may have had additional information that they may not have had, and it may be additional information that they're just now getting a hold of. So like you've been saying, why penalize them for that?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I feel some type of way about it. So I'm going to let that piece of it go. I think I've voiced my concerns sufficiently enough. But I actually saw a thread that I think ties this together pretty well, and it may be one of my closing points. And the thing that they described it as, I'll get their name in the show notes. I butcher names, so I'm not even going to attempt this one. The first name is Amani. But it's inspiration porn. And she was actually talking about healthcare, but I think it was representative. So she said, it's a thread, so I pulled some of the more interesting, I pulled some of the ones that I want to talk about here. The whole thread is interesting. Every systematic failure is turned into a feel-good story about people fundraising for each other, and we continue the narrative that these are individual problems with singular solutions. And then I really like this quote. We don't confront the system as a whole. 99% of the population winds up constantly swapping the same $20. Even more upsetting, while necessary in our current, again, she's talking about healthcare, climate, crowdfunding has set up a system where we as individuals vote on who is quote unquote worthy of our donations. And so for me, the takeaway here is not Robert Smith or Senator Warren, and we can continue those debates and we will, but it's college, this system, I think across the board, we seem to all agree is overpriced. Like it's astronomical. It just doesn't even make any sense. Even I think for the people who do have student loans, or even for the people who graduated debt-free and don't have student loans, part of that effort is a recognition that college is highly and or overpriced. It's increased 300% in like the last 30 years. And I think by some measurements, 400%. So as a whole, somebody lying. Like this country's in debt, individuals in debt, college kids are in debt. And to your point, one thing that I really struggle with, and I'm trying not to become, and I think I'm doing an okay job, is the old man who yells at a cloud. Shout out to The Simpsons. Is when you're 18, I mean, think about these kids that we're talking about. Like, I graduated at 22. I went to school at 18. And I did not have the wisdom or knowledge, and there was nothing, quite literally, that my parents could have told me. And I say that literally because I still got $30,000 in debt, although they were gracious enough to help me pay for 90% of my college because they planned ahead. They didn't cut a check. That's another thing I want to clarify. I think some people, when I tell that story, they're like, "Yo, your parents just wrote a check." I'm like, "All right, no." They planned for it since I was a baby. And I've said this before on another show, but you know, I'm the benefactor of three or four generations of financial decisions. And I think people are like, well, it was a choice that this 18-year-old kid made. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not going to use the word I used earlier, but I think it applies here. Is that just, I don't follow that line of reasoning. I understand what you're saying. I hear words coming out of your mouth, but I literally don't get what you're saying. Like, I don't know how old some of these people are, but I was not that smart at 18. I would go far enough to say I was pretty stupid, actually. At least when it came to money management and financial decisions. I mean, I literally thought that when I graduated, I'd make six figures, baby. That's what you went to school for, you know, like. And I was shocked and appalled that it took me 6 months to find a job to make $20,000, less than $20,000, actually. I think it was $19,600. Mm-hmm. And it took me till, and I love money. I chase money all over time. I sold nights door to door trying to make money. So I'm somebody who actively pursues money, and I didn't break that six-figure mark until my 30s, recently. I'm not following this line of reasoning. At what point was all this 30, 40, 50-year-old wisdom supposed to be not only confined within an 18-year-old mind, but it's not enough to know. You have to act upon it. And there was nothing nobody could tell me at 18 that was going to stop me from signing up for a credit card, spending money, because I was an adult, baby. I'm 18. You know, say I can fight wars and vote. Like, get out of my face. Give me this credit card.
And my first
is a yo-yo. And it's like, yeah, I respectfully disagree. But I hope some people and not the person who commented on the show last week, and you know who you are if you're listening. You probably won't listen, but I'm willing to hear your side of the story, and I hope you have heard mine and maybe some different perspective on why this just isn't a one-for-one relationship, and it's not just as easy as they made a choice. And it's, you know, if a gun is to your head, is that really a choice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. So if you do have thoughts, you know, hit us info@paychecksandbalances.com. You can also find us on the socials, which I know we're going to drop that in a bit. But I'm curious what people think about this one, who listen to the show, because I've seen the opinions floating around out there. I'm realizing as we talk about this, like how passionate I am about it. So would love to hear from some of the listeners.
Yeah, and I would actually be very curious, too, and I want to hear from the listeners. But one thing that I kind of pointed out, and it seemed to do well because it got a number of retweets, is so people were like, okay, why isn't this a national discussion? And I mean, it actually wasn't a national discussion until Robert's donation. But only a third of the population goes to college. And just by the nature of this discussion itself, I think you can see that people tend not to care. They are less moved, frankly, by things that don't involve them. So 2/3 of the population is watching all these discussions like, I didn't go to college. All I see is people getting free money. At least that's how it looked like to them. So, I mean, that's why it's math. That 2/3 of the population does not care about this discussion other than it might affect their taxes. And so that's another point of fact that I want to keep in mind. And I'd like to hear from people if you did not go to college or if you went to technical school or if you found some other avenue to generate, I'll say significant or even just a livable means of income. What's your thoughts and take on this? I'd be interested in that as well. So I don't want you to feel left out of the discussion. Please write in, as Rich said, info@paychecksandbalances.com.
Yes. And so this episode was a little bit different than what we normally do, but it's something that we've been talking about behind the scenes on the Slack chat. And so I wanted to bring that up for discussion today. So if you enjoyed today's episode and haven't already, be sure to subscribe and hit us with those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts and say a few words about the show. And so today's review of the week comes from Kiki Chanel Conspiracy. Ooh, I got that the first time.
I'm glad you did, because I was going back and forth on Chanel or Chanel. Appreciate the 5 stars, Kiki. Informative and hilarious. You guys are the best. I just found you thanks to Gabby Dunn. Shout out to Gabby at Bad With Money. Gabby was on our show for Bad With Money. She's the author of Bad With Money and host of the Bad With Money podcast. She also had us on her show. I'll get both in the show notes. Kiki is representing the 40-somethings. Oh, shout out to Gen X. And I have learned so much. Your advice has really motivated me. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Kiki.
Yes, appreciate those 5 stars. And it's funny, you said Gen X and I made a X symbol across my chest. And I was like, oh, wait, that means something else now. Word to Wakanda. But definitely appreciate those 5 stars. And yeah, looking forward to dropping the next episode and getting back in the rhythm of things.
And if you'd like to find us on socials, we're on Twitter and Instagram at PayBalances, on Facebook at Paychecks and Balances. Follow our individual accounts at the Marcus Garrett with 1 T on Twitter, 2 T's everywhere else, because that's my government name. And for those of you wondering, I just ran out of characters. Rich is available all over the web at I Am Rich Jones.
I am.
And don't forget to visit to get that 4-week course, 4 Steps to Pay Off Your Debt Plan at paybal.co/debt to purchase or review the course today.
$20. It is worth it. Do it. And until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.